Good morning, brothers and sisters. One and all, thank you for inviting us to Darlington. Now, just to make sure that you don't wake up in the middle of this and wonder what on earth I'm talking about, you've walked into the wrong talk. The idea is that this is an exercise in seeing Jesus, finding Jesus in everyday life. And what I'm going to talk about is hang gliding. Now, this is quite unusual for a Sunday morning, I know, but I hope it will make it memorable for you. So, 30 years or more ago, in fact, I flew hang gliders. Now, I don't mean that I went one day and had a ride on a hang glider and I got the t-shirt and I got the selfie and that was it, you know. I went and I flew hang gliders for about 10 years. I really did it, well and truly. And so that's what I'm going to talk about. Let's just digress first of all. Talk about the Bible for just a minute. When I was a little child, they sent me to Sunday school. And at Sunday school, they told us about the Bible. Well, the Bible was about Noah, and it was about Jonah, and it was about Adam and Eve, and things like that. In fact, it just didn't have any point of contact with the real world. It was all children's stories, and of very little relevance. We were also dragged to church, and the vicar talked about death, but he didn't. The message at the time, this is the late 40s, early 50s, it was still government propaganda. Now, I know you think that the immortal soul is blanket belief, but at that time it was very strong, and it was government propaganda to convince Joe Bloggs that he could join the army, go off and shoot a few people and die, but it didn't matter because he wouldn't really die. Because it didn't, he was got this immortal soul. So death was not real. So again, he was talking about stuff that wasn't real. And then in 1967, I got woken up with a jolt. I discovered that the Bible is really about real people, real things, what's really going on in the world. It's real life. And I also found that death is what we all actually knew. Death is real death, no messing about, as we learn in the Bible. And now to compare that with hang gliding, I may tell you, is real life. Now, that's particularly relevant today because so many people have left real life behind. We have a simulation instead, don't we? Oh, have you got my flight simulator, Pete? No, I fly real hang gliders off real hills into the real sky. No simulation, thank you very much. And also, if I get it wrong, there's the distinct possibility of real death. It's always there. And in fact, in the popular understanding at that time, and remember this is 30 years ago, in the popular understanding of hang gliding, that's what it was about. If you listen to the news or read the paper, headlines, hang glider pilot dies. That's what they all heard. So it was quite funny. I'd be talking to someone, and this would just pop up. I fly hang gliders. You fly hang gliders, but you're still alive. And that was the attitude. You know, if you're a hang glider pilot, well, if you're not dead now, you'll be dead tomorrow. That's what it's about, isn't it? And it's quite remarkable that was a popular perception because they were told nothing else. And I can give a shining example of that. During the time that I flew hang gliders, I was a member of the Derbyshire Club, and one of the other very keen members of the Derbyshire Club, with all the right equipment, he took off one day from Mantor. Now, I say Mantor. Anybody been to Mantor? Hands up. Nobody leaves a man at all. Who's visited the Blue John Mines? The Blue John Mines? Good. When you visited the Blue John Mines and you were going towards the mines, you saw the hill up to the left? That's Mam Tor. Well, I've flown from there a few times. Anyway, this lad, this day 30 years ago, he took off from there and he flew all the way to the south coast of England. Now, at the time, that was a national record. So, naturally, he thought, I'd better tell the news, hadn't I? So he rang up the newspaper and he rang up the radio. And he got the same answer from both. You know, I have just flown a hang glider to the south coast from Mam Tor. No. Was anybody killed? No. Anybody badly injured? No. Well, no, sorry, we're not interested. It's not news. Well, you know, it sounds daft today, but look, you've got exactly the same thing today. The thing that gets into the news stays in the news, doesn't it? Suddenly they report nothing else. It's MPs that have done something stupid last week or something. They've got to do the same, haven't they? Well, it was the same then. Hang glider pilots die. That's what you heard. So that, again, colours what I'm going to tell you now. The Bible is about real life and real death. And hang gliding is real life and has the possibility of real death. And most people think the latter. Right. Let's have a look at a hang glider. I did try and hand out a picture, but I couldn't see the point of letting everyone see it because I can't show it to them either. So you're going to get a verbal description. When you look at a hang glider, you'll see that it's a load of aluminium tubes supporting a fabric sail, basically. Now, the formation of the tubes is quite important because there's a keel tube goes from the front to the back, and there's a cross tube goes from left to right holding the wings apart. So that's a keel tube and a cross tube. And on the old gliders, the early ones, the two tubes where they crossed was a single bolt, and that bolt was known as the Jesus bolt. So as you see, we're flying something that's basically got the shape of a cross built into the structure, and it's joined together by Jesus. All things are joined together through the Lord Jesus. Now we'll take the thing and go hang gliding. Now when you transport it, of course you fold it up and it turns into a long tube about, what if I put it in new money, 6 metres long. Does everyone understand 6 metres? Inside a bag, and you stick it on the top of your car, and it is longer than the car. It used to be, originally when they started doing this, that was a bone of contention with the law. But the law said, okay, if you paint the ends yellow or black, we'll let you get away with it. But it's a great long thing on the top of your car. So you arrive at the bottom car park at Mam Tor, and then you take it off the roof and put it on your shoulder. And that's when you rediscover it weighs 30 kilograms. And it's a load of aluminium tubes. And it cuts into your shoulder. And you've also got harness and helmet and your lunch. Don't forget your lunch. And now you've got to climb to the top of Mam Tor. It's hard work. And it hurts. There's no other way to describe it. And as you climb slowly up the path, carrying a 6 metre long, 30 kilogram, cutting into your shoulder load, plus your other bits and pieces, you're walking alongside other tourists who are also going up and down the path. And they look at you and they say, he's going to die. You know, that's what they've been told. Why would they believe anything else? So if you don't think about the Lord Jesus at a time like that, what sort of a Christian are you? The reminder is there. So then you get to the top. And you take this thing out of its bag. You've got zips 6 metres long. You open it out. Prepare it for flight. And then you put on the harness, and you put on the helmet. And then you attach yourself to the hang glider, this thing that is like a cross. But I have to admit that attaching yourself is not the way that the Lord Jesus was attached to his cross. At this point, there is no comparison. Because you have a strop on the back of your harness with a carabiner in the end, and you hook it onto a strop on the bottom of the glider, on the keel tube. And then the next bit does hurt, because you have to pick the glider up and proceed to the edge of the hill. Now, when you do that, at this stage, you've got the whole thing rigged with the A-frame underneath. And remember, it weighs 30 kilograms, and it's now nearly 30 foot wingspan. What's that in newer money? 8 meters? 8 meters? 8, 9 meters? And it's usually windy. Well, it's invariably windy. Now, you've all struggled with an umbrella on a windy day, yes? Well, this is a 30-foot umbrella. And it is windy. And you've got it balanced on the points of your shoulders. Now, I can tell you, it's particularly in the early days. You do get used to it, but in the early days, it hurts. And not only that, you're shuffling up across the rough ground amongst the stones and the slippery grass towards what is a fatal drop. So it's hurting, it's uncomfortable, it's fighting you, you're fighting it, and ahead of you is what can only be described as a fatal drop. So what do you do next? Well, you take a very smart pace forwards, and another pace forward, and then you don't manage to get the next pace in, because that is the wonderful moment when this thing stops being 30 kilograms fighting you and becomes your own set of wings. This is the most wonderful transformation. I have a little quote here. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, brothers and sisters, I've so far compared the suffering and the shame from the onlookers that you're feeling as you do this, compared it to the sufferings of Jesus. But of course, it's only the faintest shadow of what the Lord Jesus went through. And I'll now compare the flying with the joy that he experienced on his resurrection. But again, it can only be a pale shadow of what he has at the Father's right hand. Having said that, I can tell you it is absolutely great. It is, that's why we do it. It is absolutely, well, I say do we do it, like, it's 30 years ago, I've stopped doing it. But it is wonderful. You get to fly with your own wings. You get to fly like a bird, really and truly. You take off and immediately you're in full control of this thing. And not only that, it talks back to you. You can turn it around and it says, oh, the lift is over this way. You turn it that way. You can do everything. It's wonderful. You can fly along the ridge. You can search out the lift and go higher and higher. Or you can stay low and go fast along the ridge. You can do all sorts of things. And if you're really clever and you've got the right equipment, you can leave the hill and fly off across country from one thermal to another. And if you're really good, you might get to the coast. But it takes a lot of skill and preparation. A lot of preparation involved. I never had the time to do any of the spectacular stuff. And I couldn't afford the equipment anyway. So I used to just fly up and down and really enjoy myself. And doing that, I've flown with the birds. I've flown up alongside a skylark on occasion, little skylark hovering in the sky, singing his heart out. I've flown up alongside kestrels. You know how kestrels hover? Come up alongside a kestrel. He didn't take much notice of me. He was looking for his dinner. I've flown in thermals with buzzards. These great big birds of prey. I've flown round and round in thermals with those. And on one hill, just near Mam Tor, it's called Treat Cliff. Has anyone been to Treat Cliff Cavern? No, it's just down the hill from Blue John Mines. There's another cliff there that faces east, and we fly that as well. Or we flew that. I must speak in the past because I've given it up. And on that cliff, there was a family of crows, and these crows loved hang gliders. You'd be flying along quite happily, minding your own business, and then suddenly there'd be a bang, and a crow would land on your wing and laugh at you because it turned you that way, and you turn the other way, and you land on that wing. And they obviously enjoyed messing about with us. Absolutely wonderful. So I enjoyed every minute of it, flying up and down. And so, hey, I could wax more eloquent, but I tell you what, I'll be boring you, won't I? So I'll have to bring you into land. I bet you're all worried about getting back safe, aren't you? So, right, time to go and land. So we fly back along the hill, and from up there you can see your hang glider bag on the top of the hill, and you can see your lunch as well. So you fly around behind the hill, where the air is now descending slightly, and you just stooge about, doing S-turns, until you come down to about 50 feet behind where your glider bag is, and about 50 feet above, and then you point it straight into the wind, and the glider comes down, and as you go through the last few feet, you slow it to a stop, and just put your feet on the ground. Lovely. And then you put the A-frame down on the ground, firmly, to hold it there, and then you reach through the A-frame, and you grasp the nose wires. You reach back, you undo your carabiner, clip it safely back onto your harness. You step then under the nose wires, grab the top nose wire, undo the nose catch for the bottom nose wires, let them drop, and the whole thing folds down flat on the floor, safe. Take off your helmet, your harness, put them on the nose as well to keep it safe, and then you sit down on your glider bag, because you don't want to sit on the wet ground. And then you open your lunchbox, and you have bread, and you have coffee. And you sit there, you've got the beautiful scenery of God's creation before you. You've just flown, you've just had this wonderful experience flying like the birds over this same beautiful scenery. And now God has brought you safely back to the ground, and you have bread and you have coffee. Well, as a Christian, you're just absolutely guaranteed to give thanks to God for all these blessings, and you're going to remember the Lord Jesus, as we're going to now, in the meal that we share.